Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verses 3, 4, and 5. So good to see everyone that is here today. We appreciate your presence very, very much. We are in the midst now of summer break, if you will, for school. Schools are closing up and traveling has begun, and many of our own are out traveling. But many of you are here today, and we're glad to see each of you that are here, that we can come together to worship God. You know, it's exciting news when it's announced someone's going to have a baby. It's exciting to see and to have lots of babies. But it's exciting to see when those babies grow up. We're all anticipating what kind of adult this little one will be. Well, today we're going to talk about the idea of being born again. We're going to be talking about the idea of becoming a Christian. And it's exciting about the fact that one is born in Christ. And as Jesus talked to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was a little bit perplexed about what Jesus was talking about. But I think it's clear from New Testament teaching that what Jesus was talking about was the idea of being baptized into Jesus Christ. And when you're baptized into Christ, you're born again. And there is excitement about that birth. And there's also excitement about the potential of growth and maturity and what that babe in Christ will become. Well, when we think about the idea of why you need to be baptized, I think there are lots of different ways that we could talk about this. And I'm going to try as best I can to examine from the perspective of why you should. So let's look at a few passages of Scripture. Well, first of all, in Mark 16, 15, and 16, I think this is a passage that everyone is quite familiar with. And as we think about this passage this morning, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And what is very, very important to notice here is that Jesus commanded it. And really, that could be the end of the sermon. We could stand and sing and be dismissed. Because that really is the crux of the issue. Being baptized into Christ is because Jesus commanded it. And why does He command it? So each person could be saved. We sang that great song just a moment ago about God's love. And God's love is demonstrated in what we've already celebrated or observed or memorialized again this morning, the death of our Lord. And that is emblematic of the fact that God's love is demonstrated to us because He gave His Son so that we could be forgiven. God's part was giving His Son. Our part is to be obedient by being baptized into Christ. Another passage is in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Again, a very familiar passage to most people that are familiar with the Bible. And Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what is significant there is that it's commanded for each of us to be baptized so that our sins can be forgiven. So if you are cognizant, if you are aware of the fact that you are a sinner, this is great news. You may remember in the context that The apostles preached that the ones that were present that day were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. There were those that were pricked in their heart. They were touched by what they were told. And they responded to the apostles by asking, "What shall we do?" And this was Peter's response. So I think all of us are quite sure of the fact that murdering Jesus was wrong. That was sinful. Well, how do you get forgiveness of that? In Acts 22 and verse 16, another familiar passage. "And why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." And what I learned from this great passage about being baptized is that one should not delay. Now, people delay. There is no doubt people delay. And it's not possible for me today to talk about all the reasons people delay. Bottom line, they delay. This passage clearly indicates that you should not delay. You need to be baptized to wash away your sins. Now, you'll notice a common denominator so far. Baptism is linked in these great passages with getting rid of your sins. And that's important. And why is that important? Well, the prophet Isaiah talked about your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God. The first example of that is in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. When they sinned, when they ate of the forbidden fruit, God cast them from the garden. Cast them from His presence. And that's because they had sinned. So thereafter, all that have sinned, sin separates. Because when we sin, we die. One sin brings forth death. That death is the idea of separation from God. So what baptism does, it forgives those sins so that you can have a relationship with God. Now if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 6, and rather than put all of those verses on the board, I thought we'd just read this together. Romans chapter 6, beginning of verse 3. Paul says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, and that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." Now, there's quite a bit of information in that passage, but I want you to notice these basic bullet points. Number one, we're baptized into Christ's death. There is something metaphorical, there is something emblematic, there is something that is symbolic of the fact that when you get into the water to be baptized, you're being buried in water. Just like Jesus, when He died, was buried. And so when you're baptized into His death. Now this is God's imagery. And when you're buried in baptism, then you're raised to walk in newness of life. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, we rise from the water to walk in newness of life. This text also talks about one that is buried in baptism will be raised to live with Christ. And that is important. Because remember, we just talked about sinning separates you from God. It's in baptism that a dead person comes alive. He's born again to live with Christ. Because your death separated you from God, it is in baptism that you get to live with Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, "For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Now, notice here, this idea of one Spirit teaches all to be baptized. Now, contextually, when you're studying 1 Corinthians, and we spent a long time studying 1 Corinthians, and you may recall the fact that there were those who made claims of other voices, of other messages, other knowledge, and so forth, that was giving mixed messages to the people about what's right and what's wrong, what you should and should not do. Paul made it clear that there is but one Spirit. There were even those who were members of the body of Christ who were being divided about what they were supposed to do. But Paul says, look, there's just one Spirit, and He's teaching all the same thing. Now, in our religious world today, we still have an issue with people still claiming to follow this book, but then they do different things. We'd all do well to go back and just look at what Paul said. There's just one Spirit, and it teaches everybody the same thing. We're baptized into the body that is the church. Now that harmonizes with the idea in Acts 2. You may recall that there were about 3,000 souls that gladly received the word of the apostles, and they were baptized. And we find later in that same chapter where God was adding to the number or to the church those who were being saved. So here's a very simple connection with why somebody should be baptized. To have your sins forgiven. Yes. But to be a part of the saved body of Christ. Well, in Galatians 3:27, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." This passage makes it very clear that you're baptized into Christ. Now, why do we need to be in Christ? Why is that so important? Well, because that's where all the spiritual blessings are. So when you sin initially, sin brings forth death. Death is separation. You're separated from God. How many blessings do you get when you're separated from God? None. How many blessings do you get when you're in Christ? All of them. Well, the means by which you are in Christ is being baptized. I don't know why anyone would ever want to argue, delay the idea of being baptized into Christ, because out of Christ, you've got nothing but your sins. The Bible here also talks about the idea of being clothed with Christ. Now, I'm thankful that everyone here put their clothes on today when they came to services. Now, if you had gotten up and you decided, "I'm just going to go the way I am," depending on how you sleep, and what you sleep in, maybe nothing. If you came that way, you would be naked, right? And that would not be good. So you clothe yourself. So as we look at one another today, do we not see how we are dressed? We see what we're clothed with. Spiritually speaking, when you're baptized into Christ, you are clothed, and of course that's spiritually, you clothe yourself with Christ. And as a result, people see how you're dressed. So if you're a sinner and you've never been baptized into Christ, you're running around spiritually naked. And everybody sees your sin. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, in corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now this passage makes it very, very clear. It states it beyond a shadow of a doubt, and there's no argument. Baptism saves you. Now we've studied in other lessons the number of things that are stated in the New Testament that save us. We're saved by grace. We're saved by faith. You can't be saved unless you repent. You can't be saved unless you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But do not make the mistake of listening to the world and some religious leaders that baptism is a work, therefore you don't have to do it, when the Bible plainly says that baptism saves you. Now the key to understanding that, all of those things that we're talking about, grace and faith and repentance, etc., saving us, is that nowhere in the Bible does it ever say any one particular thing saves you alone. Faith alone does not save you. Baptism alone does not save you. It's all of those things combined. So I can no more throw away the grace of God and be saved as I can baptism. They're all required. And if you're going to be saved of God, you have got to see that. It doesn't remove the dirt from the body. I must say, I've had the good fortune of baptizing some smelly people. I'm just going to be up front. When we got in the water, I nearly had to hold my breath. And you know, when I took them under the water, maybe wanted to, you know, kind of shake them up and down a little bit and kind of rinse cycle, but I'll bring them back up. All of their sins are washed away, but they still smell. The baptism has nothing to do with the filth of the flesh. But I tell you what it does have to do with. It has all to do with the conscience. It has to do with you knowing what God wants you to do and why God wants you to do it, and you did it. You did it. It's a great feeling to know that God commanded you to be baptized, and you know why He's telling you to be baptized, because you sinned and then you were baptized. Now how do you feel? I feel great. Why? Because I did exactly what God told me to do. Amen. But you ought to feel ashamed and guilty if you haven't done what God said do. That is the plain, simple truth. You should not be coddled with that. There's no justification for that. Disobeying God is wrong every time. And every time the gospel calls you and you disobey that, you should be ashamed of that. I don't know how the Word of God can make it any plainer. But there are some reasons people get baptized, and it's the wrong reason. One is this idea of the age of accountability. The age of accountability. We've all heard that phrase, right? We've all heard that. What is the age of accountability? Maybe you could throw that out to some of you. Some of you may say 12, some may say 13, some may say 18. I don't know that the council of the churches of Christ have ever gotten together into... Oh, wait a minute. There's no councils of the Church of Christ. We've not ever gotten together in any shape, form, or fashion and had a vote on what the age of accountability age is. You know why? Because the Bible has nothing to say whatsoever about the age of accountability being a specific number. But I'm convinced that that still is amongst us. And so when someone turns 12, they turn 13, or they turn 15, people automatically say, well, you've reached the age of accountability. You need to be baptized. And so a person that may not have any concept of why they really need to be baptized into Christ, they reach a certain age and so they get baptized. And that's not good. Secondly, it may have to do with knowing all the right answers. Yes, I've sat down with a number of folks and talked to them and asked them questions. And because, quote, they were raised in the church, they'd heard many, many lessons. They knew baptism is a command. They knew baptism was for sinners. And they believe in Jesus Christ. However, what is their real motive? Did you know that head facts do not always equal heart and conscience conviction? People can know things, but they're not convicted. When I was in college, I took a number of philosophy and religion courses, and I had professors that knew a lot about the Bible. They could quote a lot of the Bible, but they had absolutely zero conviction. They were not Christians, but they knew the Bible. How about reading in the Bible about the devil himself? Does the devil know Scripture? Does he know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Why ain't he saved? Got no conviction. Doesn't have works of obedience. What about trying to please others? That surely has never happened, right? I don't know how many times I have, and I don't know how to express it, it's not necessarily a biblical term, but I don't know how many Christians I have rebaptized because they made this comment. Well, when I was baptized the first time, I just did it for my parents. Or I just did it for my boyfriend or my girlfriend. You know, people get baptized for that reason? And that's absolutely the wrong reason to get baptized. Well, because everybody else is doing it. And I guess everyone's mother or father has said something like this to you. Well, if everyone else was jumping off the cliff, would you jump too? I remember in Noah's day, everyone else was not getting on the boat. That's a bad choice. It's going to solve all your problems. Yeah, I've studied with and talked with people that had some serious issues. And you know, when you're baptized into Christ and you come up out of that water, you know where your drug addiction is? You know where your alcoholism addiction is? Still with you. You can be forgiven, but baptism just doesn't make everything else go away. I know people have been baptized to wash away marriages. You live in an adulterous marriage before you're baptized, and you're baptized when you come up out of the water, you're still in an adulterous marriage. So there are wrong reasons to get baptized. But how do you know when? How do you know exactly when? Well, I don't guess I have all the answers to it, but at least here are a few to think about. The eunuch, he asked when he could be baptized. You remember that? In Acts chapter 8, very simple statement is made. In Acts chapter 8, verse 36, the text says, "And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, I'm certain there were a whole lot of things that Philip said to the eunuch that we're not told. I don't know how long they studied. It may have been 15 minutes. It may have been several hours. We just don't know all the details. But what I do know, whatever he heard, when Philip was asked, "What prevents me from being baptized?" Philip's answer is quite revealing. If you believe with all your heart. So when you think about the idea of believing with all your heart, what exactly does that mean? All right. Your heart. We've talked about this a number of times. This is not your spiritual heart. This is your spiritual heart. That is your mind. And your mind or your thoughts is what you know. Right and wrong. I would seriously have you understand this. If you want to know when you need to be baptized, you need to be old enough to know right and wrong. That's important. Number two, emotions or feelings are important. It's a part of your heart. But what did Philip say? If you believe with all of your heart. He didn't just say, well, if you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized. That's just part of your heart. Another part is your emotions or your feelings. And that is your desire or how you feel about it. Do you know some people are just basically don't have any feelings? They're very cold and calculated. There are other people that are tremendously very emotional. So people are different. But how do you feel about it? Is that important? What about your will? That's a part of your heart. And that is what you decide. What do you want to do? Now, let's break that down just a bit. What do you know? Well, do you know what sin is? I think that's important. You need to know what sin is. Have you sinned? And that's yes or no. You need to think about, from a study of God's Word, whether or not you personally have violated what God said to. And there's a lot of lists in this book. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you really know who He is? Do you believe He's the Son of God? There are many people who believe in Jesus of Nazareth, but don't believe He's the Son of God. You have to believe both. Do you know you will be lost if you don't obey? Do you know that? Now, to me, that's always been a pivotal thought of what you know. I've had a number of people respond appropriately to all the above questions. And when you get to this last one, for some reason, they have a hang up. They cannot make the application to themselves. They can quote the facts, but they can't make the application to themselves. And that probably has to do with maturity. If you answer appropriately all these other questions, and then when asked, do you believe you're going to be lost if Jesus came right now? They said, no, I think I'll be fine. Then you don't understand. I used to tell my mom all the time, she'd ask me when she knew I'd have a big test or something, she'd say, well, do you understand? Are you ready for the test? I said, yeah, Mom, I'm ready for it. Then I'd go in and make a 29. I mean, a 29 out of 100. And my mom said, I thought you said you understood. Well, I thought I did. You know what? I didn't. You ever been there? You ever think you understood, but you don't? There are people like that spiritually. They don't get it. You can preach hellfire and brimstone, and you can preach about Jesus Christ coming, and they'll sit there and smile and think it's a wonderful lesson. Thank you, preacher, for a wonderful lesson. And they don't bit more apply that to themselves than a man in the moon. There's something missing there. If you can't make that connection, you don't need to be baptized. It's the most important thing you ever do. Obey God. The choice to obey God is the most important decision you ever make. Noah made that decision. It didn't matter what God told Noah to do, he was going to do it. And that saved him and his family. How do you feel? Do you feel guilt? Do you feel shame? Some people don't. Let me just do a couple of things here that's really important for you to understand. When a heart is tender, when a heart is pliable, when the truth of God touches that good soil, that gospel, that word of God, causes a reaction. And the reaction is hearing great news about being able to be saved, but it also creates the idea of guilt and shame because you know you're guilty of putting Jesus on the cross. Now, there are lots of people that just doesn't have a feeling whatsoever about that. You could stand up here and say every Sunday for 30 minutes, you are responsible for putting Jesus on the cross, and it wouldn't affect them one way. That means that little pliable heart has become hard, just like this. You've heard that, and you've heard that, and you've put it off, and you've put it off, and each time you put it off, your heart becomes harder. And you can sit there. Doesn't affect you one bit. Do you stay awake at night worrying about you? About where you're going to spend eternity? Does that ever bother you? Do you feel God is angry with you? I remember my children when they were real small, that you could fuss at them about something and they would come around pretty quick and they would tell you they were sorry and they would hug your neck and want to know if you were still mad at them. You feel like God's mad at you? Why would He be mad at you? Because you've disobeyed Him. I hesitated as to how to word that. But do you realize your sins killed Jesus? I know the Romans put Him on the cross. But the Romans were not the only ones responsible for killing Jesus. Those Jews. Their accusations, their charges, their actions. Their sins killed Jesus. Normally the way we say that today, our sins and our iniquities, our sins have put Jesus on the cross. Well, let's say that plainly. When you sin, you killed Jesus. Do you care where you spend eternity? I think some people don't. You've blocked that out of your mind. But if you haven't blocked that out of your mind, you think about that just for the next couple of minutes. Heaven or hell? Does it bother you that you haven't been baptized? I've heard people say, well, I've been wanting to, I've been thinking about it. And that's good. You need to think about it. But there comes a time when you need to stop thinking about it and you need to do it. Comes a time. And lastly, what will you do? You going to obey Christ or not? This is not going to happen. Jesus Christ is standing right here. Everybody files in line to come up. And Jesus is going to say one thing to you. Just imagine that. Jesus says one thing to you. Have you been baptized? Yes or no? Those who have can say, yes, I was baptized. Will you go off that way? Then you come up and you say, no. What do you think Jesus is going to say next? I want you to be saved. I want you to go to heaven. Won't you get baptized now? And you say no, and you walk off this way. Is that what you're going to do? That's what you're doing today. You're making a decision. And Jesus Christ at the right hand of God is hearing your answer. You want to go to heaven or hell? It's your choice. Heaven line, hell line. Which line are you going to get in? Why are you waiting? Why? Do you need to be baptized now? If you do, water's in the baptistry. Clothes are available. All you do is make up your mind. Well, that's what I come to tell you this morning. There are a number of you here that need to be obedient. I hope you will. God loves you. He wants to save you. Stop being stubborn. Stop arguing. Just be obedient. Won't you come as we stand and sing?